AM 570 KLAC, 98.7 KYSR, HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app.
This hour of Rogan and Rodney presented by
Norms,
where life happens. Visit any Norms restaurant or order online at norms.com.
AM 570,
an LA sports icon.
Fred Rogan is here tonight.
Decades on your television covering Los Angeles sports.
Fred Rogan, huge in Los Angeles.
The Dean.
I'm the Dean.
Fred Rogan.
Weekdays before Petros and Money.
A USC All-American.
USC's Rodney Peeble.
An NFL quarterback.
Absolutely perfectly delivered by Rodney
Peeble.
Available on the iHeartRadio app or on AM570LASports.com.
This is Rogan and Rodney.
Okay, let's go. Fred Rogan, Rob Parker, and today for Rodney on AM570 LA Sports. Rob, just so you know, the Big Friday show is a show where we don't care. Anything goes on Friday.
I thought that was every day with me. No?
Oh, yeah, with you.
Yes. We love a Friday, a rainy Friday in Los Angeles. Clearing up now, Fred.
Yeah, I think we're done with the rain, but it's going to be cool. Kind of like we're in Seattle. So you know, think Pacific Northwest today.
You sound like Fritz Coleman, you know, talking right now.
I ran into Fritz.
Did you? How is he doing?
He's doing great.
Is he really? Is he enjoying retirement?
Yeah, could not be happy.
So he's not doing anything. He's just
living?
You
know what he's doing? No, what? He's doing his comedy shows. He's performing still.
So that's nice. So he's going up doing...
Yeah. He's still doing his stand-up, and he's doing well. He looks great. Really relaxed, very happy.
He had a long run at KNBC, right?
Oh, my God, yeah.
You guys, well, how long did y'all work there? 40 years?
I don't know if he was there 40.
But he was there a long time.
He might have been 39.
I remember him from as a kid.
Oh, yeah. That's how they actually launched the station back in the day. The Fritz and Fred campaign. Because the philosophy at that point was, and it really still holds true today, although nobody understands that or does it anymore.
Right.
Because, you know, over time people change and sometimes you don't get creative people in those positions. The same kind of creativity you had in the past. But here's the philosophy. If you turn on the news, you expect to see news. And anybody doing it, whether you like them or not, in your mind you believe is accredited. They're a journalist.
Right. Yep.
Everybody does the same news. But the way the station was built back then, with a brilliant man by the name of Vince Manzi, who went on to create must-see TV for NBC, we're going to build the wing guys and make them personalities. Because we can't really promote the news. The news is the news. And everybody does the same news.
He's spot on. You know what they did that? That used to be the way that newspapers, it was about the columnists. If you were in New York, Jimmy Breslin was the Daily News. Do you know what I mean? I got to read Jimmy. Right? The news is the news. The news is going to happen. But you had to differentiate yourself from the other papers. The Daily News has Jimmy Breslin. You know, the Post has whoever, the Times has, but that's the way, the guy who did that was smart.
Yeah, he was a genius. And we don't do that anymore. I mean, look at it like this.
No, you know why? They're so afraid to build somebody up and make a campaign, they don't want to pay you. So
well,
they go, they want to make everybody the same and vanilla, and then nobody knows who's on.
I think there is a...
degree of that?
Yeah, I absolutely believe that. And I think there's this. People just aren't as creative anymore. Because it's a different generation of people now that are operating the business.
Just look at Hollywood. They just, all they do is keep remaking the same old movies and over because they say, well, there's already a built-in audience and we don't want to do something from scratch or something creative or new because they might not like it. But they watched, I think Puss in Boots is a new movie that they're bringing out. You know how old it is?
I know.
Come on, Fred.
I know.
Look, no, right?
Yeah. Look at it like this, Rob. And this is what marketing is about. And it's really pretty simple. But they don't understand this anymore. If I put 5 bottles of water in front of you, and I took off all the labels, I said, drink the water. Okay, you had a sip of each bottle of water. I'd say, which one is the best? You know what you tell me? They're all water. Then why is Dasani considered better than Arrowhead? Why?
Right.
It's the packaging. It's the way it's put together. That's what differentiates one thing from another. And if you package everything the exact same way in a world where nothing is different, everything is the same, then it doesn't matter anymore.
No doubt.
And that's why we see what we see on TV. Here's an example. We have a promotional campaign at Channel 4. You know, for X number of years running,
mm-hmm.
our weather department has been determined the most accurate. Now, what does that really mean? What does it mean?
That's pretty easy in Southern California.
Right. What is that? Think about it. What does that mean? If you watch Channel 9 or Channel 7 or Channel 11 or Channel 2 and the weather's on, you believe the person doing the weather knows what they're doing because they're doing the weather.
Right.
Right? You think that. Well, this person, whether they have a degree from the Meteorological Society, whether they've just dropped down from the clouds, who knows, who cares, they're doing the weather. They obviously know what they're doing or they wouldn't be there. So why would you trumpet the fact that our people are meteorologists and the most accurate? Because everybody's the most accurate in the minds of the people.
Why? Right, whoever's wide. Right. I got you.
You know what I mean?
Right. You need more than that. And you guys have like 9 weather people, so I don't know who's who.
No, we need that many here.
Do you?
Yeah, because the weather changes every, what, 7 months here?
But I've never seen a station with 9 weather people.
No, we actually have 5.
Is that what it is? It feels like 9.
Yeah, okay. And you have to have weather on every show.
No, definitely. People
you gotta
want
have
the
weather.
I agree.
People need the weather. Nobody looks at their phone for the weather.
No, they want the weather.
Nobody picks up their phone and goes, oh, it's going to be 57 today. They get up and they go, what time is the weather going to be on TV? Oh, it's 6:24 a.m.? I'm not going to look at my phone before that happens.
Right.
I'm just going to wait to see what the meteorologist is going to tell
some
me.
Some stations have weather on the ones. Like, right, the show starts.
Yeah.
Like, it's weather first.
Right.
Yeah.
The problem with that, and in, maybe in the Midwest it's not a bad idea, but the problem with that here is that, A, the weather rarely changes, and, B, you can get it on your phone.
Right.
It's like people go, what's the weather? And I go, oh, I'm a meteorologist. I could tell you right now. Really? How? Oh, I just looked on my phone. It's going to be 71 degrees.
Exactly.
And I didn't go to school for that. I did not go to meteorological school.
I thought you did, no?
To learn how to read my phone. I went to first grade and learned to read, and then I could tell you what the weather was. So that's why I think that in this world today, it's got to be more a situation of people giving perspective on things and not just telling you what happened.
100%.
You know, all right. So
give me the perspective on the Lakers. What's happening?
You want to start with that, or let's start with the Rams?
Where do you want to start? Rams? Okay.
Let's go Rams.
All right, let's do it.
This is new. This is just in. So Matthew Stafford's not playing. You go, oh no, is he okay? Is he all right? I mean, does he still have a headache? No, he cleared concussion protocol.
Okay. They just threw the towel in on the season? Is that what it is?
That's the end of it. He's done.
Yeah.
John Wolford will start. Here's the thing, and I said this last week. If I'm the Rams, and their fans don't want to hear this, and it upsets them, apologies, they're done. He's done. Kupp's done. Aaron Donald's done. They're all done. Just take your beating like a man, and we'll see you next year.
It is an amazing fall from grace after winning a Super Bowl. You got to admit. Started, if you remember the start of the season, they got their butts kicked by Buffalo here.
Yep.
And it just was never good, Fred. And, you know, it's not the same exact team. I know people think, oh, they're the defending champs, but, you know, they lost a lot of people. It's not the same makeup. They don't have the depth that the team once had, and there's nothing coming. That's the scary part. But they won the championship, and that's what they were fighting for, right, and going for. So at least they have that in their back pocket.
Here's the thing. When they came to town, go big or go home was their motto. That's what they were going to do. They wanted to make a splash, get back into the L.A. market. Every year they did. They did something. They tried to get better. Every year they went for it. Okay, it just so happens that to do it this way, you got to really hit on a lot of mid-round draft picks. You got to connect because you don't have the ability to bring guys in when you've traded all your picks away. And therein lies the problem. They just missed. It worked, but they missed.
Right. I know what you're saying.
And you know, I don't blame them for doing it. I don't blame them for taking that approach. We wish all of the teams in this market would go for it. Just go for it every year. The Dodgers go for it every year, but they built an organization for sustained success. The Rams seemingly had done that because they were in the conversation every year.
But now you wonder, even coming out of this year, once you get to next year, really where they will fit in. I'm not saying they're going to be like they are this year because this is ugly this year. But, you know, with no other – when you start looking at the no draft picks – Fred, that's the part that gets scary, right?
Yeah,
and they maxed
replenish.
Out with everybody, right? And,
yeah.
they paid everybody a lot of money.
Yeah. Well, the thing is this. I think they made a mistake paying Matthew Stafford. I think they made a major mistake.
You think so? Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I couldn't believe they did that.
Did they reward him? They didn't want to reward him for winning the Super Bowl?
Give him a bonus.
Right.
Give him a bonus, not a three-year deal.
Right.
A guy that, look, he will run through a wall for you. We know that. And we know when he's on a good team compared to the way he was in Detroit, he's pretty good.
Okay.
You got to give him that. But he's also a guy that's taken a lot of hits in Detroit. He's had his brains beat in this year as well. Who knows how effective he'll be next year. Now you're sitting there with him on the books.
And he had the injury too.
That's what I'm saying.
Right.
That's what I'm saying. So now he's on the books. And now you're stuck with him. And they paid Jalen Ramsey. And they paid Aaron Donald. And they paid Cooper Kupp. They paid all these guys.
That's right. Right.
Aaron Donald should have been paid years ago. He wasn't, so now they had to pay
him. They had to pay him.
Okay. Yep.
Cooper Kupp had an unbelievable year. They had to give him, make him.
They had to pay him.
Pay him, right.
Right. So they stepped up and they took care of their stars. And in doing so, they spent so much money on those guys.
There's no depth.
Right. There's no depth. That's exactly what got them. Injuries and lack of depth. They have, whatever happened to Cam Akers, nobody can figure out. He's there. He's back. He's gone.
You'd be better off with Green Akers at this point.
I'm telling you. Running game bad, offensive line in trouble. They lost Von Miller. They brought in Bobby Wagner. Okay, Bobby Wagner's a solid player. Here's what we learned. He's not Von Miller.
Right.
We learned that as well. So now they have a dilemma. And when they make this decision to sit these guys, I get it. Ram fans don't want to hear
it. Well, Fred, I'm going to stick up for the Rams fans because they're the ones who pay money to go to the games. And you could... You know, like if I'm a Rams fan and I'm like, I invested in season ticket money that went up after they won the Super Bowl, and now Matthew Stafford is healthy, but you're not playing him. Is that right? Is that fair? I get what the organization wants to do, and I understand it. But it's easy for us to just poo-poo and say, look towards next season and go whatever, because we didn't pay money for season ticket.
Right.
Am I wrong or right?
You're right.
So I have a compassion for fans who get hosed by organizations when they decide to pull the plug and they don't want to play their players. I think the NBA is lucky they haven't had some sort of class action suit with them sitting these guys, you know, with what they call it again, where they rest them. What is it?
Load management.
Load management.
Load management. Like, some of these kids, parents have brought them tickets, Fred, for Christmas. That's a kid's Christmas present. To see LeBron or to see whoever it is. You know what I mean? Like, in person. As a kid, you might only get to... You don't go to NBA. NBA tickets are $300. Kids don't get to go to NBA. It's not like sitting in the bleachers for $5 as a kid. Right? That's what we did. These kids got... parents got to pay $300 for tickets. They go to the game, and the players, Steph Curry... The game they had not too long ago where they rested all the stars. You know, like they just had a game recently where five of their stars didn't play. Is that fair? And in this case, you're resting to see John Wolford play? I mean, now if Stafford is hurt and can't play, I understand that. But he's a healthy scratch. I think that's unfair to fans.
I said this the other day with Jonas, and he said it would never happen. First he thought, he didn't like the idea. Then he warmed up to the idea. Then he said it would never happen. And I maintain this, and it probably never will happen unless people speak up. Here's what I maintain. When a team is mathematically eliminated, tickets are half price. And if you bought season tickets, you're refunded half of it. If you're mathematically eliminated.
I agree with that. I don't have an issue with that. And then this way you can do whatever you want by not playing stars. And people can feel like they're getting something back.
Right.
Okay, we're out of it. They're not going to play the people I paid the top dollar for, so I can understand that or respect it. Right?
Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
Didn't LeBron not play the last few games? You remember? He could have was going for the scoring title last year. Didn't he not play the last few games?
I think he sat out.
I thought he sat out last three games.
Yeah. I think he did too. I think he did. But I think if you are mathematically eliminated, 50%.
I like that. And the other thing, too, is to stop the load management, if you don't play and you're healthy, Fred, you get zeros on your stat line. Interesting. Guys wouldn't do it.
Yeah, but
your stats would go
But it, no, but here's what a guy would do.
What?
My leg.
No, I know it would be phony. Right.
I mean, my leg.
No, right. I got a headache, or yeah, you know, I mean, a migraine. I can't even stand up.
Right. It's one of those.
Yeah. It would be like.
Of course, when Kareem Abdul-Jabbar played with migraines, he would go in, lay down on the table at halftime, and take fluid so he and could go back out there and play.
No, but it was a different time. Yeah, you know that. Time.
All right. On the subject of Kareem, meaning the Lakers, here are three possible deals.
Let's hear this.
Let's try to figure out what should be done. December 15th is the date where, if you've signed during this season as a free agent, you can be moved. So all of a sudden now, December 15th looms very large if they're going to make a deal. Here are the possibilities. One option, of course, is sending Russell Westbrook and two picks somewhere. Get Russ off the books, send the picks, and bring some people back. How about this? You could package Patrick Beverley and Kendrick Nunn with picks, bolster the roster.
Okay.
Or you could do a combination of two. You could do a combination of two. What do you think? Is it A, move Westbrook now and the picks, or B, would you prefer, well, let's take Patrick Beverley and Kendrick Nunn. Patrick, I can't see how they could trade the guy. My God, when they signed him, he was the greatest three-point shooter in basketball history. He was the answer to the question.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
The question, who is the greatest three-point shooter in basketball history? The answer, Patrick Beverley. But trade Patrick Beverley and Kendrick Nunn, get some guys back, and move like that. Which one do you like better?
I think the Westbrook ultimately is going to get you the bigger prize, right? And you got to give up the picks. I think that's the trade that should have been made. The other one is just, Fred, what are you getting for Patrick Beverley and Nunn?
They have expiring contracts, which are valuable, by the way.
And they have expiring contracts.
Okay. But I'm still saying, like, well, are you getting what you need? Or I think the Westbrook with the picks, what are you saving the picks for if you have LeBron James on your team?
The idea is LeBron won't be here when those picks come up.
Okay, but you're trying to win now.
Supposed to be, yeah.
That's my point. You're all in, Fred. You got to win now.
Well, I guess what they've argued all season long is if we make a trade, we don't know if it's going to be significant enough to make us a title contender this year. So now we're out of it this year, and then we're out two first-round picks in the next couple of years too.
Yeah, but if you got – I understand that.
Yeah.
But you shouldn't have signed LeBron then. If you're not going to be all the way in year 20.
Mm-hmm.
If you're saying you got LeBron James and Anthony Davis and you make a trade for some players to add to that, and you're not in the mix in the Western Conference, then LeBron and AD aren't worth this. All you need in the NBA, two players.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes, you do.
Well, then you better have the right too.
Yes, Fred. I mean, yeah, you have to have the right to, absolutely.
But
you need a supporting cast.
No, I get that. Oh, but yes. I'm saying without the two, you don't have a chance.
Right.
But they have those two.
Correct.
So if you're not going to put around them what will complement them, the issue is they've been here. LeBron's been here for 4 years. They missed the playoffs three of those 4 years, right?
Yes.
So what are you waiting on? You can't be mid-range. You can't be like, we got a veteran guy. We signed him for 2 years. He's 20 years in the league, but we don't want to give up any future stuff to help him now. It doesn't make sense. Either we're rebuilding and we're moving on from Anthony Davis, and LeBron's got to be here to just get the scoring championship, right? To pass Kareem, and we're rebuilding with LeBron. When he first came here, isn't that what it was supposed to be? Remember all the young kids? That's what I thought they were doing.
Yeah, but then he couldn't
play. And then one year, he didn't want to do it. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he said, they can't play. I can't do this. Get rid of all of them. Go get me the help I desperately need. Here's the problem. And I've said this. If they continue like this, this is throwing good money against bad. If they really can't get better, if they can't improve, if LeBron and AD cannot win this thing for them, what does it matter what you do? What are you trading away assets for? Why? Are you going to be better? If you make a move, are you going to win the NBA title? Are you going to be in the conversation? And do not use the argument, well, when you have LeBron and AD and are both healthy, you're always in the No. That won't fly this time. If you make a move, will you be in the conversation? What I'm saying I don't think so. I think it needs more drastic work to win the NBA title.
All right, so then you need to pull the plug on something then. Don't make any trades, then you need to trade those guys away then. If you really don't think you have a chance, Fred.
Do you think they have a chance to win the title this year?
No, I don't.
Okay.
All right, so I would trade Anthony Davis. He's healthy, he's playing well right now. I would go get me some players right now for Anthony Davis. That's what I would do. If I don't think I could win. He's playing great. He's putting up numbers. And if it ain't San Antonio, they're not winning. That's an issue. We'll see in Milwaukee and this road trip, right?
Right.
If they start beating some of these other good teams, then we'll have a different conversation. If they come back with their tails between their legs, then what?
Then it'll be December 15th.
Right.
And time to make a move. Two options there. I'm thinking what they might do is they might do the Nunn and Beverly move, a Band-Aid on a shotgun blast first, and then worry about Westbrook down the line if they think they can get closer. The other side of it is, Rob, if you make this move, here's the one thing you don't want to do. Bring back a lot of salary. You don't want that. You don't want guys, okay, so we move these two guys, and now we've got these two, and they have 3 years left at X number of dollars. I don't think you want that either. You want the ability to reconstruct your team around LeBron because they're still in the LeBron business. And yes, when LeBron plays well, he's very good. But LeBron has been hurt this year. LeBron has lost a step. If we can be honest and admit it, this is not bashing him. It's just a statement of fact. Like Westbrook has lost a step. Much better this year, but lost a step. That's not a recipe for success.
Well, then you got to figure out who you are, and what you're trying to accomplish. To play out the string with a team that can't win in the West makes no sense. It just doesn't. Like you got to figure out where you are. And you got till December 15th. So, like I said, if they got these big games coming up, Fred, and they lose or whatever, then you got to reevaluate and figure out who are we and what are we trying to accomplish here.
We've given away Norms this hour.
Norms!
We'll do that at about 12:45. We'll play a little Know Your Squad. So we'll give you a cue to call. If you win, you get Norms. If not, we'll open it up for everybody. Big event tonight, USC. A win and they're in the college football playoff. They're in Vegas getting ready to go against Utah. And Ryan Abraham will join us next.
He's upon the big boy!
Big Boys Neighborhood, Real 92.3. And you're listening to a Hall of Famer, host, philanthropist. This is my big homie man, Rodney Pete, and the man who thinks that Post Malone is a reference to an NBA era after the mailman retired, Fred Rogan.
When I was a child, I used to wonder how Santa...
Well, this is a big weekend in college football. Rob Parker in today for Rodney. I know everybody's really focused on the USC game tonight. I'll tell you. Tomorrow morning, I'll tell you what I'll be watching.
What's that?
Kansas State TCU. Josh Rogan goes to Kansas State.
Oh, all right. That makes sense.
I've been to that town. I've been to that stadium. Kansas State is very good. I'm picking Kansas State right here and right now.
Really?
To hand TCU its first loss of the season.
So should I put some shekels down on that?
Know this.
Feel that good?
Know this. I'm always wrong. Always.
So I'll go the other way.
Right. But maybe in this case I'll be right. Because I truly believe Kansas State, the first time they played, Kansas State's quarterback was knocked out of the game. And obviously, you don't have your quarterback that's hurting you. So now the guy is healthy and ready, and I think they will beat TCU. But the business at hand, of course, tonight, USC vying for that berth in the college football playoff. Ryan Abraham of USCFootball.com jumps on. And Ryan, how are you?
I'm doing good. Just walking outside. I'm in here in Las Vegas, getting ready for the game tonight. So should be a lot of fun. Over at the Park MGM, we're at the Utah Hotel. So we're seeing a lot of the players and stuff walking around. I want to get ready for this big game.
Okay, wow. Since you're at the Utah Hotel, you're seeing the players. Have you been able to pick anything out by the way they're walking or the way they're dressed?
You know, yeah, they look a little nervous. No, it's too much. Yeah, it's weird. Like, the media hotel is the same hotel that the Utah players and stuff are staying at. But, yeah, there's a lot of energy here. I came here last year when Oregon and Utah played, and it was like 80% Utah fans. It's definitely more kind of a 50-50 split. Right now, there's a lot of USC people that came out for this one. Utah didn't really know until 6 days ago that they were coming, and they were kind of a long shot to get here. So I think it's going to be pretty well represented for USC.
What's the spread in this game? And do you expect a lot of scoring in this one?
So I think I'd say the spread anywhere between like 2 to 3 in that range, and you know, USC favored by a couple of points. It was like kind of the opposite of that when they played at Salt Lake City. But just like when I'm looking at these two teams, the way USC is, USC was pretty banged up after the Utah game on October 15th. And, you know, having Jordan Addison out for a few weeks and having Eric Gentry, their best linebacker, out for a few weeks, those guys have come back. You know, Gentry led the team in tackles last week against Notre Dame. We saw Addison go completely off against UCLA, 178 yards and a touchdown, 11 catches. They're pretty healthy right now. For Utah, you know, Kyle Willingham doesn't share a lot, but they've been pretty banged up. I don't think Cam Rising is going to be as good as he was when we saw him in Salt Lake City. You know, Dalton Kincaid, who had 16 catches as a tight end, which is absolutely insane. He's banged up a little bit too. I think USC is just, you know, and peaking at the right time. I think they're very focused on this one. So I like USC like 38-28, something like that. So, it's a lower spread, but I kind of think USC is going to have a lot of control in this game.
Yeah, that's a big – so you got them with a 10-point win. That's significant. Yeah.
You know, I was thinking, Ryan, where they're at is absolutely remarkable, given what Lincoln Riley has accomplished. And did you think on this day you would be standing in a place, because you cover the team 365 days a year in the program, that they could be in the college football playoff after 1 year with Lincoln Riley?
Fred, no. I mean, I predicted 9-3, which would be a really good turnaround from 4-8, you know, where you kind of sort of establish a baseline for where you want to build the program. But Lincoln Riley, from the very beginning, I mean, you were around in the spring when he was talking about they want to win championships right now. And I don't know if anyone really believed that or bought into that. They're like, okay, that's even possible. But, you know, the way he's able to build this team, it's definitely helped with the transfer portal, but it's not just acquiring talent. Like, he built a really good team that has a lot of team chemistry. You know, Travis Dye he was only around the team 8 months, and he was a huge leader for the team when he went down, you know, and the whole team came around him on the field. And, you know, you got guys like Austin Jones stepping up who just really hadn't been playing that much. And he didn't, you know, go, I'm going to the transfer portal. He just said, okay, I'm going to play special teams and figure things out. Now he's got over 100 yards the last two games, and he's the bell cow back for the Trojans. So they brought in talent, but it's really been a very cohesive unit. It's not like a bunch of mercenaries. Like, these guys really care about each other, and that's probably the most impressive thing. Not just that they're winning, but he was able to kind of create this team out of players that were already here, players that transferred in, and get them to all buy in. And, you know, I don't think you win this many games unless you have a team that's really cohesive, and they've been that this year.
Is there a Does Lincoln Riley have to win? Like Fred just said, it was an incredible season, incredible turnaround, but if they don't win this game, does that negate everything? I don't want to be a Debbie Downer here. I'm just saying, does he have to win this game?
I think it's a good point. Like, you know, if you go 11-2, like, obviously you can't say, oh, that was terrible. But this is a game that everyone thought USC should have won the first time around. I mean, a lot of things had to go right in Salt Lake City. USC really was never down. They weren't down in the game until 48 seconds left or whatever when Utah goes for two. I feel like there's a lot of importance on this game for sure. I don't think it negates everything he's done, but it would be, I think, significantly, it would be a blow, you know, to the rebuilding process. I think, you know, if Caleb Williams has a good game and wins the Heisman, but they lose, you know, they don't make the college football playoff, I think it would be a little bit of a setback just because of the way the expectations are. I don't anticipate that happening, but I think, I mean, it's a good point. Like, I don't think it erases everything he's done, but if they don't win, it's a little bit of a setback.
As for Caleb Williams, now he's got a lot of hype surrounding him. I mean, he came out and he played well, but then on the biggest stage, when the lights were the brightest, all of a sudden he became the stud around the nation. Do you think there's any more pressure on him now, given the hype he's getting?
You know, there is a lot of hype around him, and he just handles it very, very well. Like, when you listen to him, what he's able to, you know, when he addresses the media and all that. I mean, he didn't do any interviews last year when he was at Oklahoma until the Alamo Bowl when they played, you know, Oregon. And, he, you know, his first interview at USC is Good Morning America. He's handled all that very well. I've been really impressed by just the way he's been able to win games. It could be throw for 470 yards against UCLA, or it could be I'm going to rush for 3 touchdowns and escape every pass rush they can bring at me against Notre Dame. He just seems unflappable, you know, and I, you know, for for someone to be that calm, cool, and collected as young as he is, and he's only a true sophomore at USC, I don't think he's going to buckle to any sort of pressure. He just seems to like love the being in the spotlight and being put on this stage and just being able to perform. So, I think USC, it's been a while since they've had a Heisman winner. He's an overwhelming favorite. I just don't see him faltering tonight in Las Vegas to you know, kind of change any of that.
If they do win and get to the college football playoff, do you think that they're locked in at 4, or could they move higher? Like, is that where they are, or is there a chance they could be 2 or 3?
Yeah, I think there's a chance that they can probably go to 3 would be more realistic. If TCU has a close game or if TCU loses, I think that would probably be the most likely sort of scenario where they would kind of move up to 2. And it'd be great. I mean, if you have to play the Peach Bowl against Georgia, I think you take it, obviously. Like, USC's never made the playoff before. But if you get to play in Scottsdale as opposed to, Atlanta, and you don't have to play Georgia, who looks like the overwhelming favorite. I mean, I think you have a puncher's chance to get this Caleb Williams. But, playing like a Michigan in Arizona, I think would be, very appealing. And then, crazy things happen. You win, you're playing for the championship in SoFi. Like, that's sort of like the Rams, winning the Super Bowl, at SoFi. That would be pretty amazing. So I think their best shot, it would have to be a lot of things go right. But I think the best shot would be to, like you said, get up to like that 3 spot, somehow win a game in Arizona, and then, playing in Los Angeles for the championship. That would be kind of crazy.
This might be a very simple question, but I think it's on the minds of Trojan fans, and it should be if it's not. Do they have the defense to win this whole thing?
I mean, it's a good question. The what I would say, Fred, is it's very opportunistic. They're leading the nation in turnover margin, and I think they've got better over the last, 4 or 5 weeks or so. I think you saw what, Zach Charbonnet was able to do at UCLA. Before they played the Trojans, he had 150 yards in 4 straight games. They held him under 100. Notre Dame, they're rushing team, 3-headed tailback and all that. They only had 90 yards rushing in the whole game. So they've been able to kind of take away an opponent's fastball and kind of, and do something. But the problem is that they would give up a lot of yards in the passing game as well. They're just not a defense that's like, we're going to get 3 and out every other drive. But they do get a lot of turnovers, and I think that's something they focused on from the very beginning of the season. Every player, every coach talks about it. So I feel in that case, it's something that they do. Like, it's part of their DNA to force, 19 interceptions or whatever. Like, that's kind of what they do. So I feel like they, just with Caleb Williams and a defense that can kind of pick off some passes, you got a chance. But it's not a classic, like, shut them down defense that you would think, okay, they're going to be just dominating on the side of the ball. They're not. They're going to give up yards. They're going to give up points. But if they get the key turnovers at the right times and get a couple stops here and there, I think they have a chance at that.
All right. Well, Ryan, thanks for jumping on. By the way, did you hit the tables last night or anything, or are you behaving yourself?
Brett, I did a little craps last night. It was actually good. I had some good luck, so we'll see if that translates to the game. But I love Vegas. Vegas is a lot of fun. Probably stayed out a little too late, but that's okay. It's a late game, so I'll be all right.
It's the best place for 2 or 3 days. It really is, right?
Yeah, longer than that is tough.
Yeah, 2 or 3 days is perfect.
All right. Ryan, have fun tonight. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
All right, there he goes, Ryan Abraham from USCFootball.com. USC and Utah tonight. Trojans win national playoff. All right, we are going to play Know Your Squad.
Norms!
And give you an opportunity to win that $50 gift card to Norms. 866-987-2570. Or whoever you are, if you have the courage to compete today, you'll take on Rob and Ronnie.
I was hot yesterday, wasn't I?
Yeah. You win it, you get
Norms!
If not, we'll open Norms up for everybody. First caller, we'll pick you up, and you're going next.
And now another Rogan and Rodney.
Oh, yeah!
Afternoon Delight.
When we only cared about the fall, there was no way to know that we
all right.
I was going to say skyrockets in flight.
Yeah, Afternoon Delight, but that's not what it is.
Okay.
You know, today's Afternoon Delight is You Know What I Need by Panow.
Oh, yeah. I need it Panow.
That's what you need?
Yeah, I need it Panow.
The Australian DJ, trip-tabbed Troy Savon as a featured artist on this track when it dropped last night. Fred, am I right so far on this, by the way?
Fred, the more I hear from you, the more I think you're like Casey Kasem. You're like a reincarnation of Casey Kasem.
No, I'm the guy. The group's had a successful 2022 run thanks to the remix of their 2021 hit entitled Cold Heart. It went 7 times platinum, the 7th most streamed song on Apple Music worldwide, and the most Shazam song of the year. Again, today's Afternoon Delight. Did you know what I need?
So the most Shazam song, is that from the Jamie Foxx's
yeah, that's what
show,
it's from.
Shazam?
Yeah.
No, thankfully, no.
It's by Panal.
Now, you know the Shazam app?
Oh,
you hear a song, you don't know what it is, so you you tap the button on your app and it tells you what the song and the artist is.
Oh, okay, so that's what it is. That's what Shazam is.
Yeah, so that means a lot of people are like, oh, I like this song, what is it?
Right.
It's Shazam.
That used to be like the old thing when you used to drive in your car, Fred, and you hear a song and you're waiting for the DJ to say what it is, and you're like, what was that song? I don't know the name of it, you know, and you can't find it.
Well, and the worst is when they'd have like, oh, 30 straight minutes of no commercials or whatever, and they go from one song to the other, and I was like, I want to know what that last song was.
Right.
It's like, I already know, like, you know, Forgot About Dre. I've heard that a trillion times. Like, what's the song that played before it?
And the hard part about listening to, regular radio is that they play the same 5 songs.
Play the hits, my man.
Am I right?
Yeah.
That's why they should listen to sports radio all day.
Exactly. Well, when you get older, people listen to talk radio and sports radio because they can't do the music like the same songs. Or when you're a kid, you want to hear your favorite song, so you're all right with it.
Or maybe they just want somebody to talk to them.
Yeah, that might be it.
When you get older, too.
Yes.
Well, so the kids won't talk to him? Is that what
exactly.
It is?
That's
right.
Rogan and Rodney Roulette. Know your squad. Right
now. Okay, Miko and Compton, are you there?
Hey, what's going on? Bandana Fred, yeah, I'm here.
What up?
I'm the D.
Hey, what's going on, Rod Parker? Hey, Fred, you know why Rod Parker talks so loud?
Why?
Why?
Because he went to Yale.
No. I went to Columbia. Oh, Yale. Very nice. I like that. Yeah, I got that.
That wasn't bad, Miko.
That's not bad. I might have to incorporate that in the joke. You know what I'm saying?
That wasn't bad. All right, Miko, what are you playing for? What are you playing for if you win?
I'm playing for some tickets to...
No.
No. I'm playing for some more.
Norm!
Yes! Right. I got ribs in my refrigerator from Norm. I'm Norm. I'm going to warm up tonight.
Bring on the T-Bones and join Norm's 3-quarter-pound T-Bone steak dinner for only $15.99. Order at norms.com.
And, Miko, you'll be happy to know you don't need tickets to get into Norm's. You can walk in for free.
Oh, I thought it was a Norm's ticket. Yeah, my bad.
You don't need tickets to Norm's.
No,
you can walk in, Miko. It's a restaurant.
It's a restaurant, okay.
All right. So here's the deal. Know your squad. Give you a question, 5 choices. Answer before I give you all 5 choices. Locked out. You have a challenge. Use the challenge upheld. You keep it. Use the challenge. It's denied. You'll lose it. And you're locked out of the next question. And on top of that, if you don't win Norm, so everybody's rooting against you. Nothing personal, but they all want you to lose. If you don't win Norm's, we open it up for everybody.
Norm!
Ronnie, you ready?
Happy Friday, Rogan and Rob and Miko. Ready to go.
Here we go.
Rewind.
Yeah, that's Ronnie Rewind. All right. O.J. Mayo holds the mantle as the highest drafted USC basketball player in the NBA, followed by DeMar DeRozan. Which Trojan basketball player is next in line in terms of highest draft position in the NBA? Nick Young, Taj Gibson, Paul Westphal, Harold Miner, or Harold Melvin?
Harold Miner.
No.
Taj Gibson.
No.
Paul Westphal.
Paul Westphal.
Everybody said Paul Westphal, but Ronnie got it first. So he's on the board.
All right.
What took you so long, Miko?
You should have known that.
I should have sworn I got that first, man.
All right.
No.
No, you didn't get it first.
Ronnie was first.
Yeah. You want to use your challenge and get locked out of the next question?
Yeah, let's do this. No. I'm not going to do that.
Where are you calling from, Mars? Where are you?
Mars, I'm talking.
Yeah, right. Your phone is just jumbled. It's, All right, let's go.
Hello?
Yeah, we got you.
Okay.
Which USC linebacker was the first to win the Butkus Award for the best linebacker in the country? Willie McGinnis, Chris Claiborne, Junior Seau, Clay Matthews, or Dave Matthews?
Willie McGinnis.
No.
Junior Seau.
No.
Dave Matthews.
Chris
Willie
Claiborne.
McGinnis.
No. Oh, Ronnie. Chris Claiborne. Wow.
Ronnie's a killer, man.
Ronnie's on fire.
Ronnie. I'm trying.
In Fuego. Ronnie, Miko, you didn't know I was bilingual, did you?
No, you're not.
Of course I did.
And by the way, Miko, you better hurry up if you want.
No!
You better hurry up.
That's right. You got to get in here.
Let's go. Which of these USC Trojan football players did not win a national championship in football? Pat Hayden, Charles White, Mike Garrett, Keith Rivers, or Keith Richards?
Pat Hayden.
Pat Hayden.
No good!
Keith Richards.
How about new?
He didn't Keith win, right? Richards, he was on Anthony the Rolling David. Stones.
He didn't win, though.
How about new?
The question does ask Charles White. USC football players.
Listen. Nelson Young!
Who was the other names?
Give us a hint, Fred.
Okay. In the original Hawaii 5-0.
Steve McGarrett. Garrett.
Yeah. Mike Garrett.
Jason Garrett.
Garrett.
All right, stop. First of all.
Jason Garrett.
Ronnie got Mike Garrett, so that counts. You just don't get to yell Garrett.
Why? I knew.
No, you did not know. You did not
Why
know.
Did that? I said Garrett.
No, you have to. No.
I didn't. At least I didn't say Steve McGarrett, Book 'em Dan on Murder One.
Right, and you also.
Who is Jason Garrett? Is that a baseball player?
No, Garrett Jason was Garrett was a
Cowboys.
Right.
Now he's an analyst for NBC.
He was a quarterback in the NFL.
And why did you say Keith Richards?
I didn't say that.
I said Keith,
that.
Richards. Keith Richards.
Oh, you did?
That was not me. The only Keith Richards in the world.
Well,
there's only one Keith Richards.
Right.
And somehow he's still alive.
God bless him.
Yes, I'm happy he's alive.
How many times was he revived?
It's unbelievable. No, I mean, when I think about the Rolling Stones, that they're all alive, it's incredible.
They're still rolling.
They're still rolling.
Just three of them.
Right? Yeah, just three.
Yep.
And Mick Jagger still has a 28-inch waist, right?
And he's still running up on stage like he's 21 years old.
And what is he, 80 now?
Yeah,
he, yeah, he is.
Absolutely.
That's remarkable.
It is. Salt.
Yeah.
That Jew, he got that dust. That dust keeps him young. Like CJ Memphis.
Okay, Miko. Here's the next one. Matt Barkley, Carson Palmer, and Matt Leinart are top three in most passing yards in USC history. Who is fourth on the all-time list for most passing yards in school history? Rob Johnson, Brad Otten, Cody Kessler, Rodney Peete, or Rodney King?
Rodney Peete.
No good!
Cody Kessler.
Who's Brad Otten?
How about new?
Oh, Ronnie.
Ronnie got it. It was Cody
Ronnie,
Kessler.
Cody Kessler. Well, we have to keep playing because Ronnie has got every one so far, but Miko, you already lost. Sorry.
Norms!
Oh, man, no Norms.
No tickets to Norms.
No tickets to Norms. Man, Ronnie's on fire, man.
Yeah, we gotta keep playing, though.
If you want, I can type up a piece of paper that says admit one to Norms and give it to Miko.
Right.
There you go. There's a ticket to Norms right there.
Hey, can you get one of those, too?
I got you, brother. Don't worry about it.
There you go.
Hey, is Norms an L.A. restaurant?
Oh, Norms are all over the place.
Yes.
Well, I know Rob Parker hates it.
No, I don't. Why? Because it's L.A.?
He's got ribs in his freezer. He just said it.
I got ribs in my refrigerator. I don't hate L.A. Where did I get that reputation from?
Hey, you said when they yell L.A. haters, you turn around. Hey, it's like telling Rob Parker.
I,
like, hey.
I did turn around without thinking about it.
Oh, it was a cute nickname. Just a little cute nickname. That's all.
I just said, oh.
All right. Who led USC in total yards from scrimmage this season with 1,086? Jordan Addison, Austin Jones, Taj Washington, Travis Dye, or Travis Barker?
Jordan Addison.
Taj Washington.
Travis Dye.
Miko got it just ahead of Ronnie.
Yeah.
Still no
Chris,
ticket, Miko.
Ticket, put me up that Norm ticket. I got one.
No, you don't get it.
Norms!
No, you don't get it. You are not getting Norms. And that's the end of the game because you can't win. Ronnie, congratulations on winning today.
Thank you, Fred.
And Miko, you have a great weekend.
Hey, Fred, Rob, I'll 570 AMKLAC. See you later.
Go!
Yeah, they know
Come
your
on,
moniker.
Come on, they know it.
Yeah, they do.
KLAC, see you later. That was pretty good, Miko. I am impressed, Fred. Did you? That take a little creativity.
Yeah, no. Miko nailed it. I'll give Miko that.
Give him that. I'll save you two ribs from Norms, too, from my refrigerator.
What a kind man you are. All right, what about the Laker deal? Dan Wojcicki will join us next.